Okay, we're starting with Torah Daf Vav. We were in the middle, we saw 10 questions, 10 that were really 11, on Abaye and Rava, about their approach to, if you go against the Torah and do something that's wrong, is it effective according to Abaye, or is it not effective according to Rava? So our next case starts at the very bottom of Hamud Bet. V'harei makdish tmimim lebeda kabay. Yesterday we saw, what if you're makdish a balmum to go on the as a sacrifice? Remember, there's two ways you could be makdish things in the Beit HaMikdash, either Beit HaKabayit for upkeep of the temple, or for korban, for sacrifice. So yesterday we talked about balmum for a korban, and then today we're going to talk about, what if you bring a behemah tzmimah, a good animal that can be sacrificed, but you say, I'm bringing it for the Beit HaKabayit and not for a korban. So it's a problem. You're not actually allowed to do that. If you're sanctifying an animal to the Mizbeach, to the Beit HaMikdash, has to be for a korban. Okay, we're going to learn about that today. So what if you're makdisha tzmimah lebeit kabayit? Dama rachmana, and lo and behold, they quote the same pasuk we saw yesterday. Nidava ta'ase oto. Meaning, if you remember yesterday, we said, what happens if you take a balmum and you makdish it to be a korban? It's actually going to have the kedusha of beit kabayit, right? It's not going to have the sanctity you gave it, but it will have sanctity of the beit kabayit. That's what we call nidava ta'ase oto. Likewise here, it's like the crisscross, right? You tried to bring this tmimah as a Beit HaKabayit, we're going to say, nidavata seuto zo kodshe Beit HaKabayit. It's actually effective. If you try to make a behemah tmimah a Beit HaKabayit, it's asur, but it will have kedushat tamim to it. Utnan, and here's the Mishnah about it. Hamakdish tmimim lebeit HaKabayit, af al pi shehu belo ta'aseh, even though it's asur to do this. Okay, it's actually a strange drasha. We're going to learn it on Zion Amabet. They darshan vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor in the beginning of that section. They say lemor means lo nomar, and they learn a lo tase out of there. It's kind of creative. But anyway, it is below tase, even though it's a lo tase, masha asa asui. So here you see it's effective to Yufta Dirava, who said things aren't effective. Amar lecha Rava, what will Rava answer? Mimakom shenitrabu ba'alei mumim legabei mizbeach, nitrabu tmimim lebeit HaKabayit. Just like we learned out from the pasuk, nidava ta'aseh lecha ta'aseh uto, was to teach you that a balmum that you sanctify as a korban is going to have kedusha to it, kedusha beit HaKabayit. Here also we learn, if you take it to mima and you do it for beit HaKabayit, it's also going to have kedusha. So we learned it out from that same nidava pasuk, and that's why you see here there's no response to it, because we already dealt with that pasuk before and what Abaye does with it. Next case, we're up to number 12. Bahare gezel, okay? You steal something, you rob someone. Derachmana amar, right? There's going to be robbing and stealing, but we're dealing with stealing now. Robbing, I guess robbing, I don't know exactly what term you use for gezel and gazal and ganav. But gezel, derachmana amar lo tigzol, you can't rob. Utnan, but it says in a Mishnah, hagozel etzim vasa'an kelim, if you steal trees and build them and make something out of it, you build a house, or you take wool and you build and you make clothing out of it, and now what happens?
A house isn't a kli.
Yeah, I guess it could be. I was thinking of the case of a house, because we saw the case with the sukkah, remember the crazy woman when they stole her beams and they built a sukkah, so that's why I had sukkah in my head. But yeah, it could be anything. You build a kli out of it, not even a house, just a kli, and a kind of utensil. So what happens when you go to return the item? Well, you can't really return the item. It's already been used. So you could theoretically, either you would undo what you did with it and return it, or that they actually give you the option, mishalem kishara gzela. So really, the way halacha views it is, you stole that item, and this is always, you know, it's funny. We talked about this a long time ago. It's very strange that the halacha views theft, once you steal it, it becomes yours, basically. Now, what does it mean it becomes yours? So it becomes yours to the extent that, let's say it went up in value, it went down in value, let's say it's no longer available to be returned because you used it, you can't necessarily really return it if you already shaved it down and turned it into a cleat. But what do? You have to pay the value of it. What value it was valued at the time of that you took it. What does that really mean? In other words, it means you were kone, the chefetz. Now, it's funny, because when we talked about it in Nezikin, we said it's very difficult, the concept. I steal something, it becomes mine. It seems weird. That's exactly this machloket here. That's what they're talking about. You steal something, basically, what are you saying? I'm taking ownership over this. Are you allowed to do that? And it's not, are you allowed? Of course you're not allowed. But according to Abaye, you steal something that's effective. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. Okay? Rava would say it isn't. So again, how is Rava going to explain this? Because this does seem to be very clear that it became yours. Because once it became yours, that means you're now chayav to return it the way it was at the moment you took ownership over it. Right? The value that it was at that moment. So, tiyuv to derava. Again, what will Rava say? Amar lecha Rava, shanei hatam demakra asher gazal kimasha gazal. Which kima here means kimo, like when he stole it. Meaning, it could have just said veishivat hagzela. Why does it have to say veishivat hagzela asher gazal, that you stole? That you stole means steal it the way it was when you stole it. So Rava says it's a unique halacha. So not that Rava would disagree, it's just he would say it's a unique halacha here. Ula baye haya sher gazal. So what does Abaye do with that? Mibayle al gzelo shelo mosif chomesh. Al gzelo shelo viveno mosif chomesh. There's another halacha by gzela, which is if I rob you, and then I swear under oath that I didn't, and then I say, you know what, I really did, I have to pay not only the item, I have to pay an additional fifth. Now, that fifth...
When you deny it, and then...
I think it's only when you deny it, yeah. Yeah. And it's because of the Shvuah Sheker. So now, who has to do that? Only if it's me. But if I die and it's the people who inherit me are paying, they don't have to pay the chumash. So that's why it says, Shivitak Zela Asher Gazal, specifically that you stole. That's why it has to say it like that.
It also makes sense because it wouldn't be the kid's Shvuah Sheker.
Right, it wouldn't be his Shvuah. No, So they say, Rashi says, good that you asked. Rashi says, Afilu Nishba Alav the Sheker. Even if the son swore falsely, it's still not, he's not swearing on what he did. Okay? There you could understand maybe, because also he might swear, he might think that that's the case and be so convinced that his father didn't. But, you know, you can't be as liable for swearing falsely about something you didn't even do. Okay, next case. V'hare mashkon. Okay, we're getting near the end, second to last. What's the halacha of a mashkon? A mashkon is where you take collateral, but it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to, lo tavo al beito, okay, v'hare mashkon d'rachmana amar, the Torah says, lo tavo al beito la'avot avoto. You're not allowed to come and demand a collateral from the person's house. Okay? In other words, maybe the court could say, give him a collateral, or you could ask for a collateral, but you can't go to the person's house and demand collateral. Utnan, and in the Mishnah where it discusses this halacha, okay, there's an assumption that this next part connects to the case where you did it anyway. Okay, this isn't 100% clear, but that's you have to understand that that's what they mean, because the Mishnah sets it up. It's talking about someone who's not, you know, coming into someone's house when you're not allowed to do that. Then it says, "Machzir etakar balayla ve'eta machresha bayom." If you did it anyway, and you took a collateral, now one could say that that halacha relates to anyone who takes collateral. That's why there's a little tricky, because it could just be when you take a mashkon from someone, make sure that if it's a pillow, return it at night, because the assumption is the person who's borrowing money from you is poor. They can't afford, right? They don't have another pillow. This is obviously if they don't have another pillow. Or if you take their plowing implement, then, you know, you have to return it during the day. So the pillow they need at night, these are just obviously examples. But if you take something they need, you have to return it. But the assumption here that since it came up in the Mishnah, this halacha, right after it talks about that you're not allowed to go to their house to take it, the assumption is that this is, but if you were to take it, then you have to return the pillow at night and the machreshah, the plowing implement, during the day. So what do you see here? It's effective, obviously, because if you have to return it, it means that it's yours. You get to keep it when not, right? This is all assuming that you took it when you weren't allowed. So how does Rava going to explain this? Amar lecha Rava, shanei hatam damakra, hashev tashiv. Okay, the pasuk says, So the hashev tashiv means you have to return it multiple times, meaning return it every day, right? And take it back, return it. So that means that once you took it against the law, it becomes yours. So again, Rava says it's an exception because of the hashev tashiv. Ulabaye, what's the hashev tashiv for? This is going to be similar to the first case we started with the guy who rapes the wife and then divorces her. It's going to be the same because it's about returning things, right? There was machzir grushato, which, you know, literally is translated as returning, which really means remarrying. So, lavai id amar rachman ashev tashiv. If it didn't say ashev tashiv, what would we have thought? Hava mina isura avid. Ibai nihadar, ibai lo nahadar. You did something wrong. But if you want, you can return it, but you don't have to. Once you took it against the law, maybe you don't have to return it to him. Kamashmalan, that you have to return it. The Hashev Tashiv tells you, you have to return. Bahare Pe'a, last case. Dirachmana Amar lo techale pe'at sadcha, bikut sircha. While you're doing the harvesting, you have to leave, right? You can't not leave a corner of your field, 1/60th of your field. Utnan, right? That's the way the rabbis understand. Utnan, mitzvat pe'ah. So now the Mishnah explains, how do you do pe'ah? The real mitzvah is lafrish min hakama. You're supposed to leave it, all the standing grain, right? Before you harvest. You harvest everything you want, and you leave that corner, and you don't even harvest it. Lo yafrish min hakama. What if you already cut down your entire field? You didn't do pe'ah at that point. Yafrish min haomarim. You take it from the bundles. Lo yafrish min haomarim. If you didn't take it from the bundles, yafrish min hakri. You take it from the pile. Remember, you take the bundles and you put the bundles in a pile. Ad shelo mircho. If it's before they do meriach hakri, which is they would kind of flatten out the pile, then okay, what? That's until the point of meruach hakri. What happens at meruach hakri? You remember, at that point you become chayav and maser. Until that point, you're not chayav and maser. Mircho. As soon as you flatten that pile out. Masro v'notenlo. Then what do? You take Maser out first, and then you give him Peah from what's left. So you still have to do Peah at that point. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru, Rabbi Yishmael says, even at a much later point, Af mafrish mina isa. If you have your dough, and you haven't given your Peah yet, and you're already making a dough out of it, even at that stage, you still have to give Peah. So what do you see here? If I didn't give Peah on purpose, I'm still chayav later on, meaning, right, that it's not effective what I did. The fact that I didn't take it, it doesn't really become mine. So, tiyuvtada abaye. Now we're at the first kushiya today on abaye. Amar lecha abaye, shamehatam, damarkrat, ta'azov, ta'azov, yetera. It says, when you're doing Peah tzadcha, etc., laniv, lager, ta'azov. And then in another pasuk it says, karmachalo ta'alel, uperet karmachalo ta'laket, laniv, lager, ta'azov, otam. So it says, laniv, lager, ta'azov, otam, twice. Why the double? It's to teach you, even at a later stage, you're supposed to still leave it for the poor person. For Rava Amar Lacha, yesh chaziva acheret shekazo, ve'ezo zeh, or ezo, okay, sorry, let me read it better. There's another aziva like this, and what is that? There's another case where you have to give pe'ah. It's not the one that we're trying to teach here, because this would be obvious to Abaye, to Rava, because of course it's not effective. But what would Rava say? It's for the following case. Hamafkir karmo. Okay, what does that mean? You take your vineyard and you say, my vineyard is hefker. Now, as soon as you say, my vineyard is hefker, you're no longer chayav and matnot aniim, because you've basically given the whole thing to aniim. However, what if the following happens? Ditanya. Hamafkir karmo vihishkim lashachar ubitzro. You mafkir your karem, let's say at night. You wake up early in the morning before anybody really knows that you were mafkir your karem. And what do? You start harvesting your grapes. So, at that point, since you basically were mafkir, it sounds like you were almost trying to get out of matznot aniim. You said, oh, it's hefker, hopefully no one else will hear and come. And, oh, lo and behold, no one else came. Great, I'm acquiring it back. So, in any case, because you did this, it's not so effective. Chayav beperet ve'olelot b'shicha u'bepeah. Okay, you're chayav actually in all the matznot aniim. But you are patur min ha-maser. Your act of hefker actually exempted you from maser. So what is he saying, basically? So go back to, what does he say? Aziva ta'azov teaches you that you're supposed to leave pe'ah also in this case. Pe'ah and peret and shechan. You know, all that you're supposed to leave also for the ani, even in a case that you were mafkir and then reacquired it. Okay, you'd still be chayav in the matanot. That's what the extra tazov is coming, and not for the isa. Because the isa, you wouldn't need it according to Rava. Obviously, you're still chayav in peah, because the fact that you didn't take peah is actually not effective according to Rava. Okay, wow. We had 14 questions. We answered them all. We've given lots of cases where we showed in the end that in this case or in that case, either it is mawil, it's not mawil at all. You know, you could say it's because of your theory. You could say it's because of the pasuk. So the obvious question becomes, now that we learned all of these answers, so what really are they debating? In other words, in the end, they all agree. So what's the point of their argument? So is there a nafka mina? Is there a case? In other words, we didn't bring every single case in the book, but maybe we did, right? Is there a case they actually disagree? So they say, they disagree about Rebi Ktutza. What's Rebi Ktutza? Rebi Ktutza means Rebi Ta'oraita. Rebi is interest. There's different ways you can take interest. The classic way of taking interest is, I lend you money, I say, pay me back, you know, more than I'm charging you interest. That's Rebi Ktutza. If you do interest in a bunch of other ways, most of these ways, everyone thinks, is only Rebi Midirabbanan. Okay, so that's not Rebi Ktutza. Ktutza means you set a particular amount. At the beginning, it was very clear what the interest rate was. I'll give you a few examples of Rebi Midirabbanan. If I give the person who lent me money an item for collateral, and I say you can use it in the meantime while you have it, so then you're going to get paid back all the money I owe you, and you're going to get the benefit from the collateral. That's interest, but it's not interest midoraita because it's not set up with like an interest rate, basically. It's different. Obviously, it's if I say you can use it without, right, there's another way. I could say you can use my mashkon and then deduct it, but here we're saying I'm not deducting it from the loan. If you pay rebate from the beginning, you say I'm paying you all the interest right now and then I'll pay you back the money later. Or after the loan, like 2 months later, you say, oh, here's some extra money. If you gave a gift to the malveh, that's like giving you a loan. This is interesting, right? You're not allowed to give a gift to someone who gave you a loan because they gave you a loan, because that's interest. Okay, it's interest midrabbanan, but it's interest. This last one there's a machloket about. Let's say I ask you for extra time to pay back the loan, and I say, I'll give you a little extra money to pay the loan later. There's a machloket. Is that rebit or is it not? Is it, no matter what, it's usur, but is it rebit to oraita or is it rebit to rabbanan? In any case, the machloket here is about rebit to oraita. So now their machloket is based on this machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Rabbi Elazar, okay, you can look, I charted this out also. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Ktutza Yotza B'Dayanim. Okay, Rabbi Ktutza, the Dayanim can force you to return the money. If you took my money with interest, the Beit Din can force you. There's a debate, actually, an interesting debate. What does it mean they can force you? Generally, the rabbis have what we call hefker beit din hefker. They can decide that, you know, your property is my property. Like, they can do whatever they want. So theoretically, one could say they can even come into my property and take it from me. Some people say, no, they can only take it from your property if it's actually a financial obligation. This isn't a financial obligation. This is a mitzvah to return the rebit money. It's not that you stole money from me and you have to return it. It's not a chiyuv mamoni, a financial obligation of yours. It's just that the Torah says you can't take rebate, and if you did, they make you return it. So there's a debate when they say Yotzava Dayanim, does it mean the Dayanim can actually come into your house and seize your possessions? Or does it mean that the Dayanim can threaten you, and the way they do, let's say, with a Misarevet get case, right? A woman who's trying to get a divorce, and the husband's not giving a divorce, and they arrest him. You know, they do all sorts of means, but they can't actually make him do it. So it's a debate whether Yotza B'Dayanim means they use coercion, or does it mean that they can actually take the money? In any case, the machloket goes like this. So Rebi Ktutza, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Dayanim can come and take it, but Avak Rebi, which is all these drabanans, that's in Yotza B'Dayanim. We don't make you return the money. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Rebi Ktutza Eino Yotza B'Dayanim. So what do you see here? He says, once you took it, you took it. The Beit Din can't come and get it back. That sounds just like Abaye. What you did was effective. That's Abaye. Where Rabbi Elazar says is, now the rabbis can, you know, it should be undone. Basically, we can force you to give the money back. That's because it's not effective that you took Rebi. You went against the Torah. It's ineffective. So that's their answer. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, and that would be an aftamina between them. Gemara says, Amarle, Hatam b'sfara pligi, Hatam b'krai pligi. Their machloket doesn't have to do with any logical argument. This is a good, interesting thing. Their debate has to do with the way they darshan psukim. Now that assumes, if you're going to darshan psukim in a particular way, that means if you're coming from a drasha, that it has nothing to do with logic, right? It's interesting. We don't always view it. Sometimes you can say the psukim are supporting the logic. But basically, often we distinguish between, is it a logical argument or is it based on psukim? If it was a logical argument, then we could say it fits it. Both sides of the argument, each side fits into either Rava's theory or Abaye's theory. Is it effective? Is it not effective? If we say it comes from the psukim, it's just drashot, then it doesn't have to do with the logic, in which case you can't say that that's the root of their debate. In which case you can't say that that's where Rav and Abaye disagree. So here are the psukim. the first we're going to have three psukim, three different options given for Rabbi Yochanan, and then one for Rabbi Elazar. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my time at Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, "B'neshach natam v'tarbit lakach v'chad lo yichyev." We're going to read a few of these psukim in Yechezkel. Okay, it says he gave right with neshach and tarbit. That's interest, and he will not live. Okay, the end of that pasuk I'll read now because we're going to read it soon. Because the third option is going to be the second part of that pasuk. Et kol ha-toivot ha-ela asa motumat amav bo yiye. Okay, he did all these despicable things. He's going to die. Okay. So the first drasha is chai lo yichye. What does that mean? He's not going to live, meaning l'chayim nitam v'lo l'heshavon. This is a punishment, right, that causes you to die, but it doesn't mean you have to return it. In other words, it's all about, right, keep this law because we'll give you life, and if not, it'll take away your life, but not that you have to return it. Rav Acha bar Adav amar mehacha. When it says you can't take interest in the Torah, okay, not Yechezkel, but in the Torah it says, "V'yareitam Eloheich ani Hashem." What do you learn from this? L'moran etati v'lo le'shavon. This is the mitzvah that's given to fear God. It's basically between you and God, and it's not that you have to return the money. Rav Amar Mehacha. Rav says, look at the rest of that pasuk. Hatoevot ha'el in Yechezkel asa mot yumatama bo yiyeh. And a few psukim before, what does it say? Beholi ben parit shofech dam. So it talks about shvichu dam, and then it talks about those who lend on interest. So what are we obviously going to do? Make a hekesh. Hukshu malavei ribit l'shofchei damim. We're going to compare them. Ma shofchei damim lo nitnu leheshavon. Just like when you murder someone, you can't return, you can't take it back. Therefore, malavei ribit must be on that level where you can't just return the money. Okay? Obviously, it's all these things are basically saying, if you think about it, that returning the money is actually doing something nice for the person who took the ribit. It's allowing him to feel better about what he did because he can give it back. If we don't allow you to give it back, it's like shvichut tamim. It's once you murder someone, it's with you for the rest of your life. You can't return it. You can't undo it. Likewise, taking ribit, it's almost like we don't allow you to give it back because that would be doing something nice for you. Right? These are all very severe issues, and therefore it can't be returned. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says, Eina yotza v'dayani. V'amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my time under Rabbi Elazar, what's his reason? D'amar kra, v'chai achicha imach, ahadur leki echi dinechi imach. In the pasuk where it talks about ribit, it says, don't take interest so that your brother can survive, right? We don't want to make him, if he can't afford the money as it is for the loan, right, he needs to take a loan, then obviously we want to allow him to be sustained. And therefore, if you take the ribit and make him pay extra money, obviously we're going to make you return it so that the person that you took the ribit from can survive. Okay, so obviously we have to, the whole point of the mitzvah is to allow the person to survive and not take away their money. So therefore, obviously, we need to return the money. Okay, so now we're back to square one. What did we say? What's the difference between Rav and Abaye at the end? If they don't really disagree about Rabbi Ketzutza, because Rabbi Ketzutza was really proven by the psukim, okay, and therefore it doesn't have to do with a logical argument. It's just a matter of how do you darshan the psukim. Then, what's the difference? Elabamai plige abaye v'rava. Bishinoi kone. This is very interesting. There's a big debate about what these words mean. Shinoi kone generally means that's what we talked about with the gzela, right? That really what they're arguing about is the gzela case. Is shinoi kone or is it not kone? Okay, now in the end, they both agree that you have to return it based on the shak gzela, but the question is, according to Abaye, he views it as you acquire that item. And Rava, and maybe this sits nicely with us about the whole concept, what do you mean you really acquire it? Rava thinks you don't really acquire it. In other words, he agrees, technically speaking, that you're going to pay based on what it was at the moment of Gzela, but not because you have any sort of, you don't acquire the item. Of course you don't acquire the item. You stole the item. You did something wrong. In that case, Rava will agree you don't actually acquire the item. And that's the difference between them. But Rashi actually says, that's the second Lashon Rashi brings. The first Lashon Rashi is, look in Rashi, B'shinoi kone, it's about eight lines down. D'abai savar shinoi sheshina va'avar al da'at ha'makom kone. Bar mehecha diktive krai. U'lareva lo kana elahecha diktive krai. V'loeth parishlan de'lahavi midi benayu ela terutze dehani tiyuvta. In other words, the real difference with them is just theoretical. If you are, now what does shinoi here mean? Shinoi doesn't mean you took someone's wool and you sewed it into a, you made it into a baguette. No, shinoi means you change from what the Torah says. If you change from what the Torah says, is that effective or is it not effective? Meaning their argument is purely theoretical. That's what they're trying to say. It's a theoretical argument. There's no practical implications. The only thing is, it just affects whether you read the psukim like this or you read the psukim like that, right? In other words, how you read all those cases and how you darshan all those psukim that were on that chart that went in different directions, okay? What's your starting point? It's like, is man inherently evil or is man inherently good? You might actually get to the same place about, but it's like, where's your starting point, right? It's a philosophical debate. That's really what it is. But practically speaking, there might not be any real relevance. Okay. Lishna chrina, and now based on how you understand this affects how you understand the next line. The different version of the answer is Bahane Shinuye Deshaninan. The real only difference between them is how they darshan each of these psukim. Now, according to Rashi's first answer, the one I read second, the one I read right now, that basically means the same thing, right? It's basically theoretical. So Rashi in Lishna Chrina says, Uben Hai Lishna Lilishna Deshmiali, according to the Lashon that I said, Bishinoi Kone, Leika midi elaze Yerushalmi v'zeh Bavli. These two nuskaot are just a matter of linguistics, how they say it. Do you say it in the words shinoi kone, or do you say bahani shinoi deshanina? But it actually means the same thing. One was said in the Bavli, in Bavel, and one was said in the Yerushalmi, and they just brought two different versions of the same thing. According to the other way of reading shinoi kone, was that specifically they argue about the gzeilah case, and there would be a practical difference between them, or a theoretical difference between them. In this is saying, no, Bahani Shinuya Deshaninan. The second answer is saying it's purely theoretical and it's just a matter of how they darshan the psukim. There's even more options of how to read these. I'm going to stop with this because we could go on forever about how these exact lines work in. What's interesting here is, you know, I'll actually give you the next one, even though it's a little bit confusing. According to the way I read it now, the Gemara continues and now gives, even though Lishna Achrina is in parentheses, you should read Lishna Achrina. And now we're going back to the top of the daf where we started with Rebi Ketutza, and we're going back to a different version of saying that the argument between them is Rebi Ketutza or not. Okay? If you get rid of the words Lishna Achrina, some people say that this last answer, Bahani Shinuya Deshanina, and here's a third option of it, is Bahani Shinuya Deshanina B'Rebi Ketutza La Bayla Mahadar Rebi La Rava Mahadar Rebi. We're actually going back to the earlier answer. The first answer we gave was that the difference between them was Rebi Ketutza. We rejected it by saying, oh no, they're not relying on logic there, they're relying on psukim. And now we come back and say, no, actually, Rav and Abai would disagree about the Rebi Ketutza case. So there's like many different ways of understanding these lines. Okay, let's just, right, we can read this either which way, whether you say this is a new Lashon, or whether you say, right, this is like a new way of reading the earlier sugya about the Rebi Ketutza, or you say that this is part of the answer of this would be a difference between them. Either which way, the Gemara is now going to say, Rebi Ketutza la'abai lo mahadar Rebi, you don't have to return the Rebi, and the Rava mahadar Rebi. Rava says you would have to return. Now we're going to question Abaye. V'ha Abaye nami savar mafkina Rebi Ketutza b'dayanim. But Abaye also holds that the Dayanim can come and force someone to return interest. How do we know this? Now, right now we're suggesting that Abaye says, Rebi Ketutza, you don't have to return. But we have a source that says explicitly you do. And here there's going to be a machloket Abaye v'Rava, but about a minor point, and they both agree that you have to return the money you took. So, Amar Abaye, Hadin de masik b'chavrei arba zuze. There was a person who was owed 4 zuz from his friend, Biribit, and he lent him the money with interest. V'yave le lamava b'chanute glima deshave chamisha b'arba. Okay, he was, basically, he gave back, when he gave back the money, what did he do? The guy came into his store, the malva walked into the store of the borrower, and the borrower gave him a cloak worth 5 instead of worth 4. Kimafkina mine, now it says, when they force him to return it, because this is ribit, so when they force him to return the glima, dalin mafkina mine. Okay, according to Abaye, you have to return only 4. V'hai zuze b'matanahu diavla. We view the 5th as if it was just a gift. is he was willing to give him that fifth, that's fine, but he has to return the money because it was given back with interest. V'Rava Amar Chamisha Mafkina Minei. Rava says, no, you have to return all five. My time, Kula B'Torah Rebita Ka'ate Liadi, because the whole thing was given to him as rebit. So, what do you see from here? Abaye clearly agrees that if you give money with rebit Ksutza, you have to return it, because he made him return the four. So, Elakip Miflige, Abaye V'Rava, Bishinoi Kone. So then they say, it must be, and this supports, by the way, the reading that we just said, that this is really coming to, this is maybe the answer. They try to give an answer. The difference between them is Rebit Ksutza, the last interpretation I brought you. And now they say, no, it can't be. The difference must be only Bishinoi Kone. Again, whether it's the Gzela case or whether that means whether you change from what God says, is it effective or is it not, where it's a purely philosophical, theoretical argument without really practical implications. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're getting into details of a case that we happen to have mentioned before. Okay, this is a classic tangent of the Gemara. We talked about yesterday, the end of yesterday's daf, if you're makdish a baal mum to go on the mizbeach, right? It has kedushat aguf. Now we're going to talk about what if you actually take that baal mum and you sacrifice it on the mizbeach. What happens? Amarmar. Did I skip? Yeah, I've skipped. Tanu Rabbanan. V'chol asher bo mum lo takrivu. Okay? Anything that has a blemish can't be takrivu. What is matamulomer? What's takrivu mean? Im belo tishchetu. If it means you can't slaughter, hare kvar mor lamata. Okay, we didn't yet say where, but we're going to see later where they learn lo tishchetu. That comes from a different pasuk, that you can't slaughter the animal for the purposes of a korban. Ela matamulomer. So what's Baal Takrivu coming to teach you? Why does it say Lo Takrivu? Baal Takdishu, you can't designate it, right? You can't say, I want to use this animal. This is what we talked about. This is where we get the Lo Tase that we mentioned before. You're not allowed to designate a Baal Mum for the court, for your sacrifice. Mikan Amru, from here they learned, HaMakdish Baalei Mumim L'Gabei Mizbeach. Okay, now here it means more than just makdish. If you sanctify an animal for the mizbeach and you go ahead and go through all the process, you slaughter, you collect the blood, you sprinkle the blood, you burn the animal on the mizbeach, over mishum chamisha shemot, you've done five lo tases. What have you done? Mishum bal takrivu, which we already said is bal takdishu, bal tishchitu, you can't slaughter, which we're going to learn soon where the source is, Mishum bal tizriku, you can't sprinkle the blood. We're going to have to learn where we find all these things from. Umishum bal taktiru kulo, and from burning it in its entirety. Umishum bal taktiru mechtzato, and you're even chayav if you only burn parts of it, not even the whole thing.
But there are two people involved here. So it's obvious that the owner is there, but the Kohen...
Right, the Kohen actually does the action. That's a good question. Who would be... Right, it's a question. Would he be chayav on all those things? That's why maybe they say, over mishum chamisha shemot, maybe it's not necessarily he himself would get all those. It's a good question. Who gets the punishment for that if the Kohen did it? It's a very good question. I don't know the answer. Okay. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amru Av Kabbalat Adan. Even accepting the blood is another one. He has six. Okay, let's go in depth now. Amar Mar. Im Bal Tishchetu Hare Amor Lamata. Right now we want to find the source for that. So, Hechan Amor. Where does it say Bal Tishchetu? Titanya. It says in a Braita, they darshan the following pasuk. Averet o shavur o charuta yabelet, those are types of mumim, lo takrivu. So, now they say, notice we said already, it said, kol asher bo mum lo takrivu. So what's this lo takrivu coming for, right? Matamu lomar, im bal takdishu, if it means you can't sanctify the animal, harek farmor lamala. That we learned from the other verse. Ela matamu lomar bal taktiru, bal tishchitu. Okay, so this must mean you can't slaughter them. Yeah, so we have so far, you can't sanctify from v'chol asher b'mum lo takrivu, the averet o yabelet lo takrivu, comes to teach you, you can't slaughter. V'ishe lo tidnu mehem, that's the continuation of the pasuk with the yabelet. What does that mean? Ishe, you can't burn it. Elu ishim, right? You can't burn it. Eimli ela kulam, that sounds like all of it you can't burn. Where do you get miktsatam minayin? How do you know only part of them? Tamulomar mehem. Right, ishelo titnu mehem, from them, from always means even part of them. Now what we're left with, zrikat damim minayin, tamud lomar, ala mizbeach. It says, ishelo titnu mehem, ala mizbeach. Ala mizbeach means any part of it that's supposed to go on the mizbeach. Oh, what's that? The blood. Okay, last thing, and from here we're going to tangent off on this last one for the rest of shir today. Lahashem, it says, right? Ashalotinu mehem ala mizbeach lahashem. What's the lahashem? Lirabot sa'ir mishtalech. It's not just animals. Like I designate an animal to be sacrificed in the mizbeach and it's a bal mum, I'm going to be over on all these lotases. What if I say I'm going to designate for the sa'ir mishtalech an animal that's a bal mum? I'm also chayav in a lotaseh. Because it says lahashem, because the seer lazazel is also lahashem, even though it's not being sacrificed lahashem, it comes to say even that's going to be a lo tase. Okay, we're going to have a lot of issues with that. Okay, so the first issue with that is lahashem lirabot. You're saying that the word lahashem comes to include, that even included in this case will be the seer lazazel. Vahatanya, now we're going to show another case where it says lahashem, and what do they do in that pasuk? They exclude the seer avishtaleh. Okay? Remember the Seir Mishalech, right? That you take two Seirim. Let me just review some of the halachot. You take two Seirim that look the same, right? Identical. And you put them in a goral. One goes and gets sacrificed. And one goes and sent off Lazalzel, right? Which, right, it goes down in the desert. According to the rabbis, right, they throw it off a cliff. That doesn't appear in the Torah. But, okay, that's the scapegoat. So, the Hatanya, doesn't it say, I korban, now we're going to talk about shchutei chutz. This is, you can't take an animal that was supposed to be sacrificed inside the Mikdash and sacrifice it outside the Mikdash. So korban, shome'ani, okay, let's read the pasuk. The pasuk is, al petach ol mo'ed lo evio, right? This is a case where you had a korban, but you didn't bring it to petach ol mo'ed, la'akriv korban la'ashem, in order to sacrifice the korban to God. The name is Mishkan Hashem, and therefore it says Dam Yichashev Lishehu, Dam Shafach, he spilled blood unnecessarily, and he gets karived. So, if you just look at the word korban, shomeani af koche bed kabayit, shenikru korban, kinyan shenemar v'nakrevet korban Hashem. So from here you would include even things that were sanctified for bed kabayit, that you now, like if you had... If you did shchutei chutz, you would think, this is the case we talked about earlier today. If I took an animal and I said, I'm giving it to bed kabayit, okay, which I'm not allowed to do. I have to only bring it to sacrifice. But then I said, then I slaughtered it outside the temple. Okay, you might have thought, even that, nikru korban, ki inyan shene'emar, as it says, vanakrev et korban Hashem. And maybe this includes kodshe bed kabayit, because what's this pasuk? Korban could mean things that were sanctified for Bet HaKabayit. It says, Benakrevet Korban Hashem, and then it continues to say, and they bring, Asher Matzah, Klei Zahav, Etzadav, Etzamid, Tabat, Agil, when is this? In the battle with the Midianim, they had all this stuff, and they said, we're going to bring the Korban LaHashem. What do you see here? Korban LaHashem doesn't necessarily only mean, right, animal sacrifices. So maybe you would think, now, Shchutei Chutz can only be animals, because you're slaughtering them. So they're saying that maybe you would think that the pasuk would include, because it says korban, anything that was that was brought even for bed kabayit, not for purpose of sacrificing any animal. Tamud lomar. Therefore, it says el petach ol moed. It says you didn't bring it to petach ol moed. Now, an animal that you sacrifice for bed kabayit can't be brought be'ol moed. It can't be sacrificed because you're not allowed to do that. Therefore, but el petach ol moed chayavin alav mishum shuchtei chutz. Sheimro el petach ol moed. You're not going to be chayav shchutei chutz for that item. El Ol Moed teaches you that. Now comes our point. Otzi ani et elu. So fine. I understand something that I designated incorrectly. I took an animal and I said, it's kosher bed kabayit, and then I slaughter it outside. I'm not chayav. But, lo otzi parat chatat v'sir mishtalech. Shem ruyin lepetach ol moed. If petach ol moed is excluding that, maybe petach ol moed though will include Para Aduma and Seir Mishalech. That both of those things go into the Ol Moed, right? The ones brought in for the Goral, the Para Aduma, right? These are things that are Ruyin LePetach Ol Moed. Talmud Lomar LaHashem. What does LaHashem come to say? It comes to exclude. Mishem Yuchadin LaHashem. Yatsu Elu Shem Yuchadin LaHashem. You can even say, notice the Seir LaHashem and the Seir LaZazel, right? There's the Seir LaHashem. This isn't LaHashem. The Paradum is not for Hashem. The Seir Mishtalech is not LaHashem. Therefore, LaHashem excludes them. So now we go back to our original. We said before, LaHashem includes, when it comes to our case of shechting a Baal Mum, it includes the Seir Mishtalech that's a Baal Mum that you bring into the Mikdash, right? And that would be a Sur. But here we're excluding. We're saying you wouldn't be Chayav Shkutei Chutz for Seir Lazalzel if you slaughtered it outside. So Amar Rava, Rava answers, oh, don't worry that Lahashem, by us, includes and by there excludes. Hatamin yana dikra. Everything is based on its context. El petachol moed came lirabot. Therefore, when it said Lahashem, it must be coming lehotzi, right? There you're having a riboy already. The next word is going to narrow it. But by us, hacha di ishe lehotzi, ishe already said only things that are burned on the mizbech. Therefore, Lahashem, the next word we're going to darshan is going to include. Maybe though it won't be only things that are burned, maybe we'll include more. Okay? Lirabot. Tama the kativ kra. Okay, so now that was our first question. Now we're going to have a second question. So this is all based on the drasha that the word Lahashem comes to include the Sir Lazazel. So, Tama the kativ kra Lahashem, hu delo maite Sir Hamishtalech. That's what comes to teach you that you can't bring, what is it really coming to teach you? You can't designate a Baal Mum to be the Sir Hamishtalech, right? You can't, it has to be a Be'ma Tmima. Now wait a minute. It's all because we darshan this word Lahashem that we learned that? Isn't it obvious? Halo Rabbi Krala Hashem, Hava Mina, Sierra Mashalech, Balmum Shapirdami? How could that possibly be that you would think that you could bring a Balmum to be the Sierra Mashalech? Why is it obvious that you can't? Michdi Ein Hagoral Kavua Ela B'Davar HaRa'oi. You have to bring, what did I start with? Two Sirim that look exactly alike. One's going to go Lashem, one Lazazel. You do a Goral. It's all random. How could you possibly bring a Balmum? Of course you can't. So, two answers. Amar Rav Yosef. Ha mane Hanana Mitzri. It must be going according to Hanana Mitzri. Sina Shita, it's very famous. Tamar afilu dam bakos mevi chavero mizavegle. What does it mean? It means Hanana Mitzri is talking about, there's a debate about what happens if you bring the two seirim, you start the process, and then one of them, the seir mishtalech, dies, and you've already slaughtered the regular seir. What do you do with the seir? Do you have to start all over? So he says, even dam bakos, you just bring another Seir for Azazel. You don't do a Goral at that point. At that point, you might have thought, if you didn't have the Lashem, you might have thought you could actually bring a Baal Mum. You're just sending the Seir Azazel. He's not going Lashem. That's what it's coming to teach you. So now they say, wait. We understand what Hanana Mitzri is really saying is the one that has the Dam Bakos, you can continue to sacrifice it. It's not considered Dachoy. We've seen cases where, right, this korban becomes disqualified and you can't deal with it anymore. He's saying his chidush is, it's not Dachoy, you just bring another Seir, but that new Seir needs Hagrala. You have to take it with another Seir. You have to match them up, and then that one, if falls on him, La Zalzel, he becomes the Seir Mishtalech. But not that you don't have to do a Goral, which means even according to Hanana Mitzri, you still wouldn't need Lahashem. It would be obvious that there's no case of a Seir Mishtalech that you would have a Baal Mum. So what are the answer? Okay, so instead of that answer, we're going to substitute a different answer. Here, I didn't finish it. Delo tzarich hagrala mishamale. Dilma maite umagril. Maybe. It's not even clear, but they're saying maybe Hanana Mitzri thinks that you need to do a new hagrala there. Ella Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hamane Rabbi Shimon. He must match Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Also weighs in there. Detanya, Mate Echad Mehem. If one of them dies before you even start the process, you take two, you have a Goral, and then after the Goral, one of them dies. Mevi Chavero Belo Hagrala Diver Rabbi Shimon. You just take another one. He says it very clearly, you don't need a Goral. So according to him, if it was the Seir Lazalzel that died and you're bringing a new one in its place, theoretically, you might have thought you could bring a Baal Mum. Kamash Malan, the Pasuk has to teach you, Hashem, no, if you brought a Baal Mum, you're over on a low tasa. It's not clear, by the way, whether they actually think you would have brought a Baal Mum. It's okay to bring a Baal Mum, but you wouldn't necessarily get Malkot on it, okay, if you did it. Rav Amar, second answer. Okay, that was all two options for the first answer. The first one we kind of rejected, so therefore we had the second. Now we have a second possible answer. Rav Amar, lo nitzcha kigon shehumam bo bayom b'chililo achavero. What's the case where you designate a Seir Mishtalech? It's a case where nobody died, none of the animals died. You took a Seir Lashem, Seir Lazazel, you did the Goral, everything was fine. Then the Seir got a Mum. At that point, you redeemed it. Except instead of redeeming it on a good animal, what did you do? You transferred the Kedusha from it onto another Baal Mum. Now there, you're not creating, the chalut of Seir Mishtalech is already there. It's on this animal. You're just transferring it to another animal. But since you're transferring it to a Baal Mum, you're chayav in basically designating a Baal Mum to be the Seir Mishtalech. And that would work, it would be effective, and there you're going to be, it's forbidden to do. You would get, it would get gamalka for it. So, sakadatacha, meaning you might have thought, bishlamami, karala yadana, ihai mikvilashem, hemikvilashem, avalhacha, kevandi, inkar shem, lo lak. And as we understand from the beginning, lo yadana. Right. In the beginning, we understand, of course, you can't bring a balmum, because lo yadana, ihai mikba l'shem or not. We don't know, is it going to be the sir l'shem or is it not? So, of course, from the beginning, you wouldn't need a pasuk to teach it. But in this case, because it already has a name, and it's already called, we already know it's going to be the sir l'mashalech, lo lake. You might have thought, this is where I thought also, and no one really thinks you could do this, it's just a matter of when you get malkot. You might have thought you don't get malkot. Kamash malan la'ashem comes to include even the sir l'mashalech that you did in this weird case where it got a mum after the goral. You wanted to transfer the kedushah to a different animal. Instead of doing it as a regular animal, you did it to a bal mum. There you would get malkot for doing it. In which case, that drasha is a very specific, unique, rare case that it would actually happen. But we're used to that, so it shouldn't bother us.